Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Ram Goldar and here Masechus Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Gimel, the first parak Lifnei Eidehen. The Zichu Masechus Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated Lazech Nishmas Rav Moshe Binyamin ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom and Lazech Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe Binyamin Alav Hashalom. May the neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on the previous Daf teaches regarding a city in which some of the shops are decorated and some are not, that the decorated shops are prohibited but the undecorated shops are permitted. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says the prohibition is only for shops decorated with rose or myrtle, which were offered before the idol because he benefits from their forbidden fragrance when visiting the shop. But if the shops are only decorated with fruit, they're permitted, although some of the profits will go to the idols because the pasuk lo yidbak miyadcha me'uma min acherim, nothing from the condemned property shall remain in your hand, implies that only then deriving benefit from idolatrous property is prohibited, but mahana, providing benefit to the idol, is permitted. Rav Yochanan disagrees and prohibits even shopping in stores decorated with fruit based on the Kal Vachomer. Nena aser mahana lo kol shekein. If deriving benefit from idolatry is prohibited, is providing benefit to it not certainly prohibited? In a brisa, Rabbi Nassim prohibits wearing an idolatrous wreath to escape a tax because he'll benefit from its forbidden fragrance, nor can he shop without the wreath and pay the tax to the idol. This proves Rabbi Nassim prohibits providing benefit to the idol. Reish Lakish answers that the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Nassim. Point number two, in the price I just mentioned, Rabbi Nassim says that if a Jew does forbidden business in the market, behema ta'akir, a purchased animal should be uprooted, produce, clothing, and earthenware utensils should be left to decompose, and money and metal utensils are thrown into the Dead Sea. Ikur is defined as hamenashe parsoseh mina arkuva lamata. He cuts the tendons of its hooves from the knee and downwards. The Gemara objects that this violates Tzar Balei Chaim, causing suffering of living creatures, and answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yehoshua to do so, indicating this is permitted to subjugate idolaters. The Gemara asks that a brisa prohibits being makdish items nowadays, and if someone does, an animal is uprooted, which this brisa defines as locking it into a room and leaving it to die. Abai answers we cannot hamstring hektish animals because of bizayon kodshim, the disgrace to kodshim. The Gemara explains why it cannot simply be killed. Rabbi answers mifnei shenir kamato mum bekodshim, because hamstringing it appears like inflicting a blemish in a hektish animal. Although this actually inflicts it with a mum, Rabbi means that nowadays when sacrifice is impossible, this is only rabbinically prohibited. And point number three, Rabbi Yaakov bought sandals at an idolatrous market, and Rabbi Yirmiyah bought bread at an idolatrous market. Each said to the other, Yitama avad rabbecha chachi, orphan, meaning unlearned, did your teacher do this? The Gemara explains that both of them bought from a baal bais, a householder who does not collect taxes for the idol, but each thought that the other had bought from a tagar, a merchant who does collect the tax. Rabbi Yochanan made this distinction, saying the prohibition to buy from an idolatrous market only applies to lokeach min hatagar, one who purchases from a merchant, the shakam michsa mine, because the priests collect a tax from him, but is permitted to purchase from a baal bais from whom they do not collect a tax. Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, said that if Rabbi Yochanan were still alive, he would even forbid buying from a baal bais where they collect taxes from them. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah made their purchases from a baal bais sheino kavua, a householder who's not established at the fair, and the priest did not collect from such a baal bais. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Mishnah in the previous Daf teaches regarding a city in which some of the shops are decorated and some are not, that the decorated shops are prohibited, but the undecorated shops are permitted. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says the prohibition is only for shops decorated with rose or myrtle, which were offered before the idol because he benefits from their forbidden fragrance when visiting the shop. But if the shops are only decorated with fruit, they're permitted, although some of the profits will go to the idols because the pasuk lo yidbak miyadcha me'uma min acherim, nothing from the condemned property shall remain in your hand, implies that only then deriving benefit from idolatrous property is prohibited, but mahana, providing benefit to the idol, is permitted. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and prohibits even shopping in stores decorated with fruit based on the Kal Vachomer. Nena aser mahana lo kol shekein. If deriving benefit from idolatry is prohibited, is providing benefit to it not certainly prohibited? In a brisa, Rabbi Nassim prohibits wearing an idolatrous wreath to escape a tax because he'll benefit from its forbidden fragrance, nor can he shop without the wreath and pay the tax to the idol. This proves Rabbi Nassim prohibits providing benefit to the idol. Reish Lakish answers that the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Nassim. Point number two, in the price I just mentioned, Rabbi Nassan says that if a Jew does forbidden business in the market, behema ta'akir, a purchased animal should be uprooted, produce, clothing, and earthenware utensils should be left to decompose, and money and metal utensils are thrown into the Dead Sea. Ikur is defined as hamenashe parsoseh mina arkuva lamata. He cuts the tendons of its hooves from the knee and downwards. The Gemara objects that this violates Tzar Balei Chaim, causing suffering of living creatures, and answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yehoshua to do so, indicating this is permitted to subjugate idolaters. The Gemara asks that a brisa prohibits being makdish items nowadays, and if someone does, an animal is uprooted, which this brisa defines as locking it into a room and leaving it to die. Abai answers we cannot hamstring hektish animals because of bizayon kodshim, the disgrace to kodshim. The Gemara explains why it cannot simply be killed. Rava answers mifnei shenir kamato mum bekodshim, because hamstringing it appears like inflicting a blemish in a hektish animal. Although this actually inflicts it with a mum, Rava means that nowadays when sacrifice is impossible, this is only rabbinically prohibited. And point number three, Rabbi Yaakov bought sandals at an idolatrous market, and Rabbi Yirmiyah bought bread at an idolatrous market. Each said to the other, Yitama avad rabbecha chachi, orphan, meaning unlearned, did your teacher do this? The Gemara explains that both of them bought from a baal bais, a householder who does not collect taxes for the idol, but each thought that the other had bought from a tagar, a merchant who does collect the tax. Rabbi Yochanan made this distinction, saying the prohibition to buy from an idolatrous market only applies to lokeach min hatagar, one who purchases from a merchant, the shakam michsamine, because the priests collect a tax from him, but is permitted to purchase from a baal bais from whom they do not collect a tax. Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, said that if Rabbi Yochanan were still alive, he would even forbid buying from a baal bais where they collect taxes from them. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah made their purchases from a baal bais sheino kavua, a householder who is not established at the fair, and the priests did not collect from such a baal bais. All right, so now we get our siman daf yud gimel, and our standard siman is a bar mitzvah boy, a bar mitzvah bacher. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market decorated with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, and stopped to buy new shoes from a baal bais she'ena kavua. Once again, in slow motion. The bar mitzvah boy and his father, bar mitzvah boy, that must be one daf yud gimel. The bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf teaches regarding a city in which some of the shops are decorated and some are not, that the decorated shops are prohibited, but the undecorated shops are permitted. Shimon Lakish says the prohibition is only for shops decorated with rose or hadas, which were offered before the idol, because he benefits from their forbidden fragrance when visiting the shop. But if the shops are only decorated with fruit, they're permitted, although some of the profits will go to the idol, because the pasuk Yidbak biyadcha me'uma min acherem, nothing from the condemned property shall remain in your hand, implies that only then deriving benefit from idolatrous property is prohibited, but mahana, providing benefit to the idol, is permitted. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and prohibits even shopping in stores decorated with fruit based on a Kal Vachomer. If deriving benefit from avodah zarah is prohibited, is providing benefit to it not certainly prohibited? So the bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, which reminds us, Rabbi Nassan says that if a Jew does forbidden business in the market, behema ta'akir, a purchased animal should be uprooted. Ikur is defined as he cuts the tendons of its hooves from the knee and downwards. The Gemara objects that this violates Tzar Balei Chaim, causing suffering of living creatures, and answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yehoshua to do so, indicating this is permitted to subjugate idolaters. So the bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, and stopped to buy new shoes from a baal bais she'ena kavua, which reminds us, Rabbi Yaakov bought sandals at an idolatrous market, and Rabbi Yirmiyah bought bread at an idolatrous market. The Gemara explains that both of them bought from a baal bais, a householder who does not collect taxes for the idol, but each thought that the other had bought from a tagar, a merchant who does collect the tax. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah made their purchases from a baal bais she'ena kavua, a baal bais who is not established at the fair, and the priests do not collect taxes from such a baal bais. So once again, the bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, and stopped to buy new shoes from a baal bais she'ena kavua. All right, so now it's time for four balabach hazara. Daf Tes, so the siman Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The antique dealer who found a shtar in an old teapot, that must be on Daf tests. The antique dealer who found a star in an old teapot and added 20 years to calculate the date of the Churban, which reminds us, a Braisa listed the various nations who ruled Eretz Yisrael during the second base of Migdash, concluding that one can calculate dates based on how many years passed since the Churban. Rav Papa said that if a Tanit teaching this Braisa is unsure precisely how many years passed since the Churban, but presumably knows how many centuries passed, he should ask a scribe how many years he writes in the Shtaros, which are dated from the Greek era, and add 20 years, thereby arriving at the correct number. So the antique dealer who found a star in an old teapot and added 20 years to calculate the date of the Churban was suspicious of the man who offered him a 2,000-year-old Torah-shaped teapot dated from the 52nd year of Avraham Avinu's life, which reminds us, the Gemara tells us that the world will exist for 6,000 years and that the 2,000 years of Torah begin when Avraham was 52 years old and he and Sarai began to convert others. The antique dealer who found a star in an old teapot and added 20 years to calculate the date of the Churban was suspicious of the man who offered him a 2,000-year-old Torah-shaped teapot dated from the 52nd year of Avraham Avinu's life and tested him by making him calculate which year of Shemitah was based on the Churban, which reminds us, Ravuna Breda of Yeshua said that if one who does not know which year of the Shemitah cycle he is in may calculate based on the Churban. Daf Yud, so the Simran Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. While the minion of Yidden, that must be run off Yud. While the minion of Yidden were reviewing the star for the shul they bought, which was dated according to the Greek era, which reminds us, the Gemara brings proof that we date shtaros from the Greek era. So while the minion of Yidden were reviewing the star for the shul they bought, which was dated according to the Greek era, two members discovered a secret tunnel with emperor's clothes that opened into the rabbi's study, which reminds us, the Gemara describes a special relationship between Rebbe and Antoninus and how Antoninus would visit Rebbe daily by going through a secret tunnel. So while the minion of Yidden were reviewing the star for the shul they bought, which was dated according to the Greek era, two members discovered a secret tunnel with emperor's clothes that opened into the rabbi's study, where a picture of Ketiah Bar Shalom was on the wall next to the rabbi's drasha titled Yesh Kona Olamo B'Shal Achatz, which reminds us, the Gemara tells us about Ketiah Bar Shalom, who was killed for defending the Jews, and Rebbe teaches us Yesh Kona Olamo B'Shal Achatz. There's one who acquires his world in 1 hour, Yesh Kona Olamo B'Kamashanim, and one who acquires his world over many years. Daf Yudov. So the Simran Daf Yudov is stars based on the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The Ger who had placed gold stars, that must be on Daf Yudov. The Ger who had placed gold stars on the garments of Roman soldiers he converted while standing near a mezuzah, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that Unculus became a Ger and kept converting the Roman troops sent after him. The Caesar sent a third troop and warned them not to say anything to him. As they were taking him away, he touched the mezuzah and asked them what it was. They asked him to explain, and he said that although a human king sits inside and his servants guard him from outside, Yehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avada B'mifnim V'hu Meshamrim B'chutz, but with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his servants sit inside and he guards them outside. These soldiers also converted, and the Caesar did not send others after him. So the Ger had placed gold stars on the garments of Roman soldiers he converted while standing near a mezuzah next to where a king's garments were being burned on the day of his death, which reminds us, in the Mishnah Daf Ches Amud Aleph, Remer said that the king's birthday and the day of his death are idolatrous events, prohibiting business with them 3 days before. The Chachamim say it's only forbidden if they burned his personal items. The Gemara explains that this practice is not idolatrous, but a demonstration of chashivusa, the king's prominence. The Chachamim hold they only worshipped idols on a death that was significant enough that they burned his personal articles. So the Ger who had placed gold stars on the garments of Roman soldiers he converted while standing near a mezuzah, next to where a king's garments were being burned on the day of his death, refused to give a star to the healthy man who approached him while on the shoulders of a cripple, which reminds us, the Gemara describes the Roman festival celebrating Esav's triumph over Yaakov. Every 70 years, they would bring a healthy person, representing Esav, and have him ride on top of a cripple, representing Yaakov. The rider would wear the garments of Adam and Rishon and place the flayed skin of Reb Shmuel's face on his head. The Gemara proceeds to describe what the Romans would call out to him. Daf Yud Beis. So the symbol Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers, that must be more on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating an idolatrous festival, around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf permits doing business outside a city celebrating an idolatrous festival. Rish Lakish quoted Rabbi Hanina permitting even the marketplace of Azza, which was right outside Azza. In another version, Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Hanina about the marketplace of Azza, and Rabbi Hanina responded, "Have you never gone to Tzur in your life and seen a Jew and an idolater placing two pots on one stove? Chashul Hem Chochamim Yet Chachamim were not concerned about their case. This ruling and analogy are interpreted in three ways. The first one being, Abai says they were not concerned the idolater would put nevela into the Jew's pot, and similarly, are unconcerned that a seller in the market is receiving money used for idolatry and biblically prohibited. So the 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating an idolatrous festival around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot had to stop one brother from bowing down to remove a thorn in his foot while in front of an idol, which reminds us if a thorn became stuck in someone's foot in front of an idol, he may not bend down to remove it because he appears as if he's bowing to the idol. So the 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating an idolatrous festival around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot had to stop one brother from bowing down to remove a thorn in his foot while in front of an idol, and another from drinking from the pipe in the ground because of the danger of leeches, which reminds us, the Braisa concludes, similarly, one may not place his mouth on a pipe in the ground and drink because of the danger. The Gemara explains that he might swallow a leech. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn about the Roman festival celebrating Esav's triumph over Yaakov by having a healthy person ride on top of a cripple? That's on Daf Yidolav. Good. Number two, which stuff do we learn about the difference between buying from a merchant in an idolatrous market versus buying from a Baal Bayis She'eino Kavua? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number three, which stuff do you discuss doing business outside the city that is celebrating an idolatrous festival? And we have the case of a Jew and an idolater placing two pots on one stove. That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number four, which stuff did we learn that if a thorn became stuck in someone's foot in front of an idol, he may not bend down to remove it? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number five, which stuff do you learn about how to calculate years from the Churban based on dates in Shtaros? That's on Daf Tes. Good. Number six, which stuff do we learn that Rabbi Nassin says that if a Jew does forbidden business in an idolatrous market, behema ta'akir, a purchased animal, should be uprooted? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number seven, which stuff do you learn about Ketiyah Bar Shalom being killed for defending the Jews? And we learn Yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha'achas. That's on Daf Yud. Good. Number eight, which stuff do you discuss burning a king's personal articles after his death? That's on Daf Yud Aleph. Good. Number nine, which stuff do we talk about walking into decorated shops with rose or hadas in an idolatrous town? And the question whether the issue is only being nehne from a vodazor or also being mahana a vodazor? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 10, which stuff do we learn how to calculate Shemitah based on the Churban? That's on Daf Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.